Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Here's to good friends.
Cheers.
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 That's sort of an oaky afterbirth.
What was that?
She did tell me to get a beer and some cheese fries over at Eskimo Joe's.
That's very nice, lovely. I only hope you feel this way when I'm done. Because I could destroy this night in 2 seconds.
Why is that funny?
Well, I think it's a bit funny to be trying to define nothing.
Smooth as a bourbon on a summer day. Strong as a peated scotch in the winter night. This is a fair warning. The Catholic Man Show is about to begin.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. We're burning daylight.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting in studio with David Niles. Pray for Juan. Always. It's always a good thing to pray for Juan, but he's actually out of the country currently on business, and so he's going to be gone for a couple weeks, and... pray for his safe travels back to the States.
One more week.
Yep. Pray for safe travel back to the States and for his lovely wife, Joan, as she takes care of all the posadas.
I call her Won because it's
Juan and Juan.
Juan and Won. If it's Juan, why not Won? That's what I call her.
She lets you?
She does.
She's very indulgent.
Yeah, she is.
Well, I mean,
she lives with Juan.
She lives with Juan. So.
She's practiced.
She's at a different level of sanctity.
Right.
We also have Jimothy here this evening or this afternoon with us. Welcome, Jim. No one will be breaking.
Jim.
And then we also have one of my favorite guests of all time on the Catholic Man Show. We have Father Sean Donovan with us.
Cheers.
I was actually thinking about this this morning after Mass. I was just really excited for you to be here, Father. And I was thinking, you know what? Some of my favorite episodes that I've done, that we've done on the Catholic Man Show, have incorporated the Diocese of Tulsa and Eastern Oklahoma Catholic priests. Wow. I was like sitting there thinking,
we have
like
a lot of good priests.
We have amazing priests here. So I was like, you know, Father Sean Donovan, Father Brian O'Brien, Father Ketterer, Father John Fincher, Father David Webb, Father Sean O'Brien. I mean, Father Brian Brooks, Father Porter,
David Carvajal.
Father David Carvajal. I mean, we've just had
Bishop Slattery.
We've had Bishop Slattery.
Yeah.
Father, Bishop Condola.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite episodes we have had have been with, you know, Tulsa.
We got a lot going
clergy.
On in Tulsa, really.
We do.
So, welcome to the Catholic Man Show again. I think this is your maybe fourth?
Sure.
I think so.
Sounds good.
Fourth time.
Yeah.
You definitely, though, Father, have had probably, I don't know, well, yeah, the largest influence. And as far as, like, show topics go, like, the Winged Hussar episode, if somebody hasn't heard that, they need to go listen to it. But now we have a wine named after the Winged Hussars. Yeah. We have t-shirts. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, wait, no, I have a t-shirt. We actually don't have a Winged Hussar t-shirt.
Have you seen the ones that they sell at like Polish events? They say Husaria.
Yes, yeah, I have. Yeah.
You have one? Yeah.
I don't have that one.
I think I actually do have that one.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was thinking like you are one.
I do have one.
Yeah.
But
pretty phenomenal.
The Winged Hussars are pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's probably one of our most downloaded episodes as well.
All right.
It's pretty awesome.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now every on the feast of Our Lady, the Holy Name of Mary,
mm-hmm.
I always go and get a box of croissants and show up to the office.
Yeah.
And like just have them open. You know, like if in an office, if you have like a box of food that's open.
It's everybody's favorite.
It's for everybody, right?
Oh, yeah.
What do you got there?
Right. People are like, hey, what are these? It's like, oh, today's the birthday of the croissant. Would you like to hear the story? And they go like, and they like take one and be like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, why
and
not?
They're like eating, because I go and get like these nice croissants, you know, like probably 1,000 calories. You know?
I go to the Pioneer Woman's croissants. So
okay. I'll bet she makes a croissant.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
But, and, you know, then I'll like launch into this story. And like by the end of it, they're just like staring at me with these wide eyes. Because it's like you end up going into like 9/11.
Yeah.
Into like
croissants,
yeah, like
coffee,
war against the Muslims. Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
like
oh, yeah.
Coffee and croissants. It's like the Holy Name of Mary, 9/11, and croissants. And they're like thinking like that was a lot more than I expected.
Yeah, that's right. Telling a story about a nice baker.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna have to think twice before I stop by your office for for pastries next time. Yeah,
yeah. The next week you had donuts and nobody came in.
Right, exactly. It's a trap. It's a trap.
It's a lesson.
So I think it'd be appropriate to discuss what we're having this evening.
Very much so.
So last week, was it last week that we had the...
Yeah, I don't know. Last week or 2 weeks ago, ago,
uh-huh.
The Glendalough. But yeah, I think it was last week, right?
Yeah, you did well.
Pat Flynn.
Oh, no, it was 2 weeks ago because we did... With Pat Flynn, we were in... It's like early in the morning, and so we were just drinking coffee.
That's right. That's right.
It's better.
Yeah. Yeah. It was appropriate.
So this is a variation of it. This is a 7-year, and it's finished in...
Mizunara?
Mizunara.
That's our Japanese pronunciation?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mizunara.
But it's crazy because I was reading on here that...
What is Mizunara, Adam?
Mm. Yeah. It means water oak.
Okay.
Naturally.
Naturally. I could have guessed that, I'm sure.
It says the trees rarely grow straight. In fact, it takes 200 years for them to grow old enough to work with to make into barrels. And so it says after they actually cut them down... Which I think would be kind of a sad moment. Yeah. It takes a further 3 years for them to dry before they can even start coopering them.
Wow.
So, very rare. I mean, very. They're not easy to get a hold of. In fact, but this is a batch number 001.
Well done.
It's impressive. So, I'm impressed.
And 2 weeks ago when we had... The regular one, we noticed who was on the label.
St. Kevin of Glendalough.
Yes, yeah. St. Kevin, which we will talk about more.
Yeah, we will.
Very soon.
Next time. Very soon.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
Cheers.
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 Cheers. Cheers. Jim.
It has a very Highland nose, like Highland Scotch nose is what...
They're not wrong. Yeah.
Mm, that is delicious. It is very much, even the taste, the finish is very much like a Highland Scotch. If I didn't know this was an Irish whiskey, I would have thought, and you just like gave it to me and asked me to guess, I would have definitely said a Highland.
Hmm.
Maybe a Speyside, but what's the difference?
You can pick fights all the way over here.
Right.
We're not in Scotland. Right. That was the difference.
Yeah. Oklahoma, Texas. Well, I mean, what's the difference?
Right.
Baja, Oklahoma.
Wow, that is...
It's super good.
That is very... Yeah, so...
The other Glendalough we had, also, just was incredible. This is... I didn't actually know about this distillery until we had it on the show. So, yeah. I'm really impressed. Now that we've had two of these and they're both... This good?
One, yeah, this one's a little bit more expensive. This one, I think, was about $120.
Well, it's because they're using trees that
take 200 years before they can even cut them down.
Slightly younger than the United States.
It's like it's aged for 7 years. That's like nothing compared to the trees.
Right. So, what are your thoughts, Father?
The way that they aged it in these Japanese barrels, it's totally different from anything I've ever tried before. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had like this kind of kind of wood?
No.
Taste is totally different.
It is. I'm trying to like, so there's this apple. And
you can tart, smell it. You mean you can? Oh yeah. You can smell that there's something different.
Yeah, but you're right. The taste immediately is kind of sweet and apple-y, mm-hmm. and then it gets really mm-hmm. smoky near the end, and
right.
like an interesting comment, like really herbal and almost bitter.
At the end. Yeah. Have you ever smelled the wood Purple Heart?
No.
So there's this wood that like it's called Purple Heart. It's mm-hmm. You know about it?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so when you cut it, you know, it's gorgeous grain wood. Yeah. It's very hard to work with, but a gorgeous grain wood. And it has this very unique herbal sweet smell to it. Mm. Whenever you cut into it first, and that for some reason that's what it reminds you of.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, this will be very fun to try. Also, by the way, if you are curious on some of the other whiskeys that we've tried throughout over 300 episodes of the Catholic Man Show, which are a lot of whiskeys, if you go to thecatholicmanshow.com, we have an episode tracker, and you can see all of our topics, all of our whiskeys, and all of the gears that we've ever highlighted.
Yeah,
which is a nice little
very
feature.
Few repeats. That's we excellent. Do have some repeats, but mm-hmm. very few
revisits.
Well, if they're that good, why wouldn't you want to do it again?
Right. So nice.
That's a lot of them. I'd
sometimes
like
you
to
have to do it twice.
Do again, yeah.
Oh. It's like the Mass. Never gets old.
That's right.
Just do it again.
Just try it. Yeah.
Can't wait till tomorrow.
Sometimes, actually, I have to admit it, like, has dragged on.
It's like what Chesterton says, like,
but I'm there, you know. Right.
What the little kid says, do it again, do it again. Right. Maybe that's like, what
you
God does.
You just sometimes you just need to be like, have like a wrap it up father, you know? All right. And then,
keep going.
Get on with the rest of the Mass. Like, that's nice. I know some priest friends of mine, they never preach on a daily Mass. They're like, no, you're here for Mass. So I'll prepare for my Sunday homily. I'm not going to preach every day. I don't know if I don't possess that discipline, or because the expectation is also like, well, you're going to say something.
Open up the word a little bit,
say
right?
Say something. Uh-huh. Yeah. Or at least about like the saint of the day or something. So I say something.
So, yeah. If you have something to say, I think you should say it.
That's right. And if you don't.
Right, yeah.
Please don't.
That's exactly right, yeah.
So we're here with Father Sean Donovan, who we are going to Ireland with, which is what we'll be talking about on the other side of the break. And we hope that you will be going with us in September. So we'll be right back.
Hey guys, David Niles here. For those of you who don't know, for my day job, I'm a financial advisor, so I know firsthand how difficult investing can be. That's why I was so excited when we met Mark Lozano, founder and owner of Christ-Centered Capital. Mark's mission is to provide in-depth research and analysis on which companies and organizations align with Christian values and which ones don't. Of course, he's also seeking to provide investment recommendations and stock picks that have financial potential and are also aligned with Christian values. What I really love about what Mark is doing is that he's completely transparent about why a company might be a moral investment versus another one. He leaves it up to you so that you can make informed decisions. He's not just going to say, oh, this one's moral, this one's not. He'll give all of the reasons in the research that he's done with links to articles or whatever it may be, so that you can make the most informed decisions on your own investment portfolios. Because as Catholics, we have a duty to uphold Catholic values, and the same goes with our investments. So we want to be as virtuous as we can be, and Christ-Centered Capital is really invaluable. It's only $7 a month for you to go and sign up to get all of his recommendations and all of his research. To me, it's a no-brainer. If you're an investor and you want more information, go to ChristCenteredCapital.com and make sure to use promo code TCMS 2022 for 1 month of free access, no obligation. That's TCMS, The Catholic Man Show, TCMS 2022. Welcome back to The Catholic Man Show. I am David Niles, here with Adam Minahan, joined today by Priest of God, Father Sean Donovan.
Thank you for being here, Father.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
So, we're going to Ireland.
Yeah.
You're coming with us.
I am. Yeah.
And you are Irish.
I am of Irish descent, absolutely.
So you kind of, you know a little bit about the place.
I know a bit. I know a bit. So my dad's side of the family's been here for a few generations. My mom's side of the family, she's the power side. Her grandparents immigrated, and they lived in the same house with her in Chicago, where they immigrated to. And so my mom's family's from Waterford. My dad's family's from Skibbereen. And so down in far southwest Cork. And actually, maybe I'll tell you a story to kind of give us kicked off.
Okay. Yeah, so, that sounds great.
So this is, it's a small country, but with a lot of history. And so just kind of give you an idea. I went to the Republic of Ireland. It was the first place I ever went when I left the country.
Now, is that the first the northern?
First international traveling.
Like Ireland proper.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So first time ever traveling internationally, because, you know, you ask your parents when you're growing up, you know, can I leave the country? Can I go travel somewhere? Like, sure. What do you have in your bank account?
Like, oh, that's why I was asking you.
Yeah.
I need some money.
Not just permission, but money. Like, yeah. No, you can go right ahead. You have our blessing when you have the money.
You have our blessing.
Yes. So I went to Ireland the first time out of the country and traveled around a bit, but not a whole lot.
Did you go by yourself?
I went with a group of people, but only like a small group of friends, and some of whom had already been there like the previous summer.
Uh-huh.
And so it was fun. And I'd been to Ireland a few different times with my family as well. You know, when I had a cousin who got married in Prague, you know, it's on the way. So you got to stop in Ireland for a little while.
Sure.
You know, it's on the way. It's on the way back too.
It's on the way.
Yeah. So I've been to the Republic a couple times, but never been to Northern Ireland until I was studying in Belgium, and we had a couple of weeks off for, I think it was Christmas break.
Is this seminary?
No, just you know.
It's just
cheap. Really? $750 just to study at a pontifical university in Belgium, in the Catholic University of Leuven. So that's why I went there after I'd worked for a couple of years at Catholic Charities in Tulsa. And so I could get a pontifical, theological degree.
So were you already a priest, or you're not even a seminarian?
No.
You're just a dude.
Just a dude getting degrees.
Just like living in Belgium.
Living in Belgium.
Why not?
You know, like beer, chocolate, waffles, fries.
Right.
Phenomenal. And so we had a break because, you know, everything's just, it's all oral exams in Europe, right?
Okay.
So like you just do your studies, but then, you know, enjoy yourself and also go travel on weekends or wherever. So we go to Rome on a pilgrimage as a group of us, like seven of us or something like that. And then a few of us afterwards were like, have you ever been to, we still have like another week before school starts. You ever been to Northern Ireland? I'm like, I've never been to Northern Ireland before. Let's go. So we go to Northern Ireland and we go to Derry. So amongst the Irish Catholics, it's known as Derry, and amongst the Protestants, it's Londonderry.
Okay. So because they're British.
Yeah. So you can already tell like who you are.
Ireland is part of Britain, but they're English, we should say. Sorry. Well,
the
Queen says that anyway. I don't know.
Yeah, they do. So there are parts that are, you know, part of the UK right now. And but we'll get into that too. We're going to talk about that in this session too.
Didn't mean to offend anybody.
Yeah, no. So they exist. It's true, and they're, you know, they're citizens of the UK. And so we go to Derry, and at the time I was, you know, a student, and so I had like my beard is maybe like this big.
Oh, nice.
And I was wearing a shirt in Irish Gaelic, a Guinness shirt in Irish Gaelic, because you know there are three different languages in Gaelic.
No.
Yeah, so there's Irish, there's Scottish, and there's Manx.
I don't know.
Just saying like Gaelic, one of the three languages.
Doesn't mean anything. Okay, gotcha.
So Irish is Irish Gaelic, right? So anyway, I'm wearing this shirt. Don't even realize just like I'm like a poster child for the diaspora, right?
Yeah.
So I'm wearing this big like car coat and Irish Guinness shirt, large red beard, and the place where we're going to stay had a sign that said "Gone to Tea" on the front. I was like, "Well, nobody's on the street. It's tea time. Streets are empty." We're like, "Well, what do we do?" So, like, some of my friends that were there, one was like a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Protestant American. So I'm like, "Okay, great.
You go
lead the way because I don't know what we're going into here in Derry
because
it's very divisive. lesser so these days, thanks be to God. But the name of the, there's only one place open, the Derby pub. And Derby, okay, sounds like you're a bunch of loyalists to the crown.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, well, shoot. You go talk loudly as an American and be all Protestant-y, and I'll just hang back. Right? I'm just going to try to blend in
right.
as much as I can.
Yeah.
And
just go stand in the corner.
like a loyalist pub. And so I thought I'm going to be really clever. I'm going to order a Catholic whiskey. No, I'm going to order a Protestant whiskey amongst the Protestants, right?
Right.
So I'm like, okay, so I'm gonna go up there and I'm going to order Bushmills. Because Bushmills is real close by. It's the oldest distillery in Ireland, and it's Protestant.
Okay.
So I thought, I'm going to be so clever. I'm going to go order this Protestant whiskey. Just blend.
Right.
They'll never catch on.
So I go up to the bar, and she goes up to the bar. She's just chatting with everybody, and they all think, oh, you're lovely, and she's charming, whatever, it's great. Uh-huh. I go up to the other bar, and it's kind of disjointed bar, and I go up to the bar, the barman there, the you know, whatever, server, and I said, can I have a Bushmills? And he leans over the bar, and he goes, no. And I said, please, can I have a Bushmills? And he goes, what's your name? And I said, it's Sean Donovan. And he goes, no. Because you're Catholic. That's Protestant whiskey. And your family's originally from Limerick. 500 years ago, you got kicked off your land, moved down into Skibbereen in Southwest Cork because you wouldn't change your papist ways. This is a bartender.
That's what he said to you.
This is a bartender. And I said, that's
guilty.
True.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. That's my family history. Yeah.
Can I have a water?
And he goes, no, you'll be having a good Catholic whiskey like the rest of us. What? He's like, yeah, you're amongst friends. We're all Catholic. I'm like, but the name of the, he said, forget it. I bought it from somebody else. I said, I noticed that you have an RUC hat above the bar, Royal Ulster Constabulary, you know, the most militant of the Protestants.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he stole it from the Prots during the marching season. Like, oh, it's a trophy. Oh, phew. Okay, well. Like, and he goes, don't worry about your friend. She's charming. It's like, oh, good. Then we go to the end of the bar, and these other gentlemen who are there, it's like, oh, you know, you're from America, and, you know, we all grew up here. You familiar with Bloody Sunday? Yeah, I'm familiar with Bloody Sunday. And, you know, basically just slaughter of Catholics who had a peaceful civil protest on the Sunday, right? And so they were just picked off by snipers they're all British soldiers. And anyway, so they said, well, some of our relatives were killed on Bloody Sunday. Would you like us to walk you around the site of Bloody Sunday and show you all the murals tomorrow?
Yes,
we would.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. But it's like, that's how steeped they are in their own history as well. Like, some bartender on the other side of the country will be like, Minahan, I know your whole family history.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you do? Can you tell me?
You are correct, sir. Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, gives you a little bit of idea, like, okay, just, you need to be a little kind of aware of where you are and who you might be talking to, so you don't want to offend anybody. And at the same time, they'll probably know exactly who you are.
Yeah.
You know, immediately.
That's incredible. You know. I mean, that just like strikes me that's something that we just don't have here in America, since, you know, we're this melting pot. You know, your name, I don't know anything about where these names come from. They didn't come from here. You know, that's the thing about all of them.
Not from Broken Arrow?
Right, yeah. Like,
generations upon generations.
Right, exactly. Like, but there, you know, like, in Ireland, I don't know, but I imagine there was a lot fewer last names than here in America.
And we're one of the few last clans that also has a chieftain.
Oh, really?
So we have a chieftain. I met the chieftain with the family. And
what
so,
does he do? Is he elected? What happened?
No. Like, now it's kind of like, that. Yeah. So all the kings of Ireland were all democratically elected, actually, no historically. Kidding. And then that'd be like regional, too. But also, if you're the chief of the clan, you get to be known as the O'Donovan. Like, you're all O'Donovans, but he's the O'Donovan.
Mm.
Right? So anyway, that's what you can tell when there's a chieftain.
the oldest one who has the most kids or something.
That'd be nice. That'd be the one who goes to mass the most.
Right,
yeah. You're the chieftain. No, no. Unfortunately, it's like mostly hereditary now, so they just keep it that way. But I have some good stories on that too. But
well, that is an excellent story. But it, just like I wish that we had that level of culture.
Yeah,
you know,
like everybody would know your people.
Right.
Yeah.
You would know exactly who you were, where you belong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like there's gonna
centuries.
Right, and you're not going to be. Everyone has a people.
Sure.
Which has its, has pro, you know, there's ups and downs.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
There's downsides. You know, yeah. There's like a lot more reasons to fight with each other, you know, for instance.
Like, I know your families. I have, but sometimes you're like, I'm not them though. Like, uh-huh. If you have a problem with them.
Right. Yeah. That's
not me.
That's the thing is that, like,
yeah.
Offenses tend to become generational as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Where here in America, it's like, oh, like, what? I don't know. Like, you did, you guys, who are you guys?
Oh,
you did
something to yeah. me.
Like, whatever.
So like, we'll do some, like, broad brush. Like offenses and grudges. Let's do that. So not particular families, but okay. So like they attribute St. Patrick like evangelizing Ireland like 432, but then we're gonna get into like fast forwarding into like flight of the earls and penal laws and what happened with the six counties and the grudges that come from that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, when we get back,
sure.
We're going to get into like some of the real Catholic. This is like the deep, yeah. deep Catholic history of yeah. Ireland right here. Okay, this is the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We'll be right back.
There's a common thread among thousands of formerly sinful people we now call saints. They had a relationship with God, which then inspired them to set the world on fire, as St. Catherine of Siena put it. But more importantly, and more specifically, it meant they put in the time. They sat with the Lord. They spoke with Him. They listened to Him. Daily. They unveiled their hearts and wounds and problems to Him. They offered Him thanks and gratitude. They left their sufferings with Him on the altar. They begged for His help. My question to you is, are you putting in the time? I know that I've sat in front of the church or sat in adoration, making this mental grocery list of things that I want. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about time to build a consistent, honest relationship, time to speak, and time to listen. Dave and I have talked about on the show before that if you don't have an adoration hour once a week, are you really taking your faith life seriously? Are you really taking your prayer life seriously? But sometimes you need a guide to help you in this holy hour. And so Exodus 90 has specifically put together a guide for you to help with your holy hour. In the show notes, you'll find a simple breakdown that shows you how to structure your time with the Lord. So this guide is also mobile friendly. If you go to exodus90.com/TCMS, that's TCMS, the Catholic Man Show, exodus90.com/TCMS, you can get a free mobile friendly guide on how to structure your holy hour. Highly recommended. Go check it out.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show, here with Father Sean Donovan. Drinking a little bit of this Glendalough.
This is Irish so good.
Mizunara.
You definitely need to try this one. Dude.
If you can find it. Batch 001.
It's amazing.
If you can. Yeah. Oh, right. We're talking about like general Irish history, I guess. So like...
Yes.
Okay, so... Yeah, Ireland's been Catholic for like 1,600 years, and but it wasn't consistent that it was even legal to practice your Catholic faith during that time, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the penal laws, and I don't know if you mentioned, I think you might have mentioned that in one of your previous podcasts where like you didn't realize, yeah, for like 134 years it was illegal to be Catholic,
uh-huh.
right? So... there were a lot of oppressive measures by the British once King Henry VIII decided that he wanted to, you know...
Start his own church.
You know, start his own church by killing a bunch of women and then, you know... Well, marrying them first, then killing them.
Yeah.
You know.
In that order,
mass
yeah,
murdering,
yeah.
adulterer.
That way you don't have to divorce them.
So much easier. Granted, he wanted to do that first.
Right.
And start his own religion. But after that oppression, they had, you know, a lot of unsystematic... oppression, you know, and then they finally got their act together in terms of oppressing the Catholics. And so 1695, I believe it was the implementation of the first universal, systematic, unending penal laws until 1829.
Wow.
Right. So during that time, you couldn't celebrate Mass in public. You had to go out in the boonies. They had large stones, so the Mass stones. And so you can still go out there and have Mass. Actually, it's been really popular, especially during Coronatide, for Irish priests to go out there because it's open air.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there are Mass stones all the way around the whole country. In fact, I shared a link with you all about somebody had actually mapped them all and took photos of all these historic Mass stones. Some of them are just beautiful. And others are like, you know, a stone.
Right.
You know,
it's a rock in the ground. It's a rock. Yeah.
You know, they're just like monolithic, just absolutely enormous because you can't move them.
Right.
Just bless them, they're good to go. Oftentimes they were down a hill. So that way, if you're just looking across a horizon,
you wouldn't see a group of people.
Right. Because the British redcoats would actually come in, shoot the priest first. Take care of Mass that way.
Uh-huh.
Shoot the priest, then kill anybody else who's around. And so that's also the beginning of the AOH, the Ancient Order of Hibernians. You heard of them before? Uh-huh.
Yep, we have an order here in Tulsa.
We do. And so they're the Bobby Sands division here locally. And so they started to actually just bring rifles to Mass, right? So that way, if you're at Mass, the AOH would sit in the back, which is always most Catholic, right?
Uh-huh.
Most Catholics are prone to do, sit in the back.
Yeah.
But they'd also have rifles with them, and that way, if they hear British soldiers coming riding, start picking them off.
Wow.
Yep. And so defend the priest, defend the faith, defend the Mass.
Yeah.
And that's also the birth of, eventually, when they came to America, with the Knights of Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
So Father McGivney said, well, you know, we need to be able to protect Irish Catholic immigrants, but you know what? There are a lot of non-Irish Catholic immigrants that are also being oppressed here in the New World, so we'll open it up. And that's where the Knights of Columbus came from the AOH. So that all came from the penal law era. And so anyway, Flight of the Earls. We should talk about that. So how did, like, we get six counties?
Hold on. I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question on... so you do have to... Like, do you have to consecrate that stone before you say Mass on it, or do you just bless it?
Yeah, you usually need a bishop to consecrate it, or actually give delegation to do so.
Right.
And he can also just give delegation to his priest, so you go bless it, you know.
Right.
And also, you know, there's like the ideal, and then there's then like what the absolute necessary. Right. Yeah.
Mass.
Like, you know, if you know, like there's pictures of people celebrating the Mass on the hood of a Jeep, you know, like...
Right, that's not ideal, but...
Right, but this is just where you are, and so...
If that's all you can do, that's all you can do.
If it's like, against the law, and you're in hiding...
So we'll see, because we're going to be able to actually look it up close when we go have Mass on one of these one of these Mass stones. I wouldn't be surprised if after they blessed the stone, then they would just carve usually five crosses. One where you're actually going to have the corporal, then one in each corner.
Uh-huh. North, south, east, west.
Let's actually see it. When we go to our Mass stone to see if they actually carved in the crosses. That'd be pretty great if they did.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But, so, I mean, with all these oppressive laws, and, like, Catholics couldn't own land. Like, they're getting taxed. They couldn't celebrate their faith in public. So a lot of the rich Catholics in the north, these, you know, land-owning, they had massive areas of Northern Ireland. They decided, kind of a group of them, let's just leave. Let's just move out of Ireland.
Uh-huh.
Let's go to Rome. You know, we're Roman Catholics. Let's go to Rome. Let's travel around Europe. We got lots of money anyway. We'll buy a villa.
Because Ireland was conquered by England.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah.
And so they were having to put up with
English, for centuries, you know,
English
centuries.
Occupation.
So, okay, so 1609, the Flight of the Earls, they decide we're just going to go.
Uh-huh.
But they own all this land in the six counties in the north. If you want to remember the six counties, the acronym is FAT DAD.
Ooh, I like that.
Right? Easy to remember.
Yeah.
FAT DAD. And
I don't know that I'll remember like what they all stand for, but I'll remember FAT
Antrim,
DAD.
Tyrone. Then you have Down and Armagh and Derry. Anyway, so FAT DAD.
Okay.
So anyway, they leave, creates a vacuum. So all the British say, well, we have all this free land. Let's have the equivalent of like an Irish land run.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to invite all these Scottish Protestants to come here, get some free land.
Hmm.
And so now since the early 1600s, you have Protestants in Northern Ireland in those six counties. And their kind of slogan is never surrender, right? So they stand their ground for centuries now. They got their free land. and they're staying. And so those rich Catholics basically created four centuries worth of division and problems.
So was it actually a difference in doctrine? Was it that all of the Protestants were convinced of the Protestant doctrine, or was it more of like a cultural divide that, like, hey, we're Scottish,
well, that too,
and you're Irish, and we don't like, you know, like, we've been, you know,
because they weren't even Church of England, right? They were Presbyterians,
right? Exactly.
So they're just like, oh, well, you're not at Church of England, but close enough. At least this you hate the Catholics.
Never surrender.
Yeah,
it wasn't so much that, was it? Well, I don't know. Like, were they absolutely convinced of the doctrine? I'm sure in some cases, probably yes. You know, but
just like the Catholics here and there.
But it just seems to me like that would be more.
They wouldn't
of
have gotten
a,
the land unless they were not Irish,
right?
So it's like, okay, you're English or Scottish. As long as you're not Catholic, you can come and get some free land.
Uh huh.
So, yeah, unfortunately, there's now, we're talking 400 years living in Ireland.
Uh-huh.
So, like, you can't really say they're not Irish, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They've been here, they've been there longer than any Europeans have been in America,
uh-huh.
you know, about, mm-hmm. you know, it's about the same time. So, anyway, and twice as long as America has existed.
There, yeah.
So, anyway, so that's part of the ongoing problems, and that's why you'd have... you know, conflicts between Protestants and Catholics, because it would always come down between those lines as well. Now, because it's like saying, like, well, your family was Scottish 400 years. No, it's like, no, you're Protestant.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's the only division now. Like, huh. So Protestant to Catholic now. And it was much worse in the 70s and 80s, car bombs and whatnot. And actually, we should probably talk about you know, different, well, maybe we'll just share with you and you can post different fun and educational movies about Irish history, songs about Irish history, and maybe books as well that can people can read about if they're really interested beyond our, you know, ever illuminating podcast. You know, they can
go much deeper.
Because, you know, especially with all these various branches of media, the Irish are really known as poets, you know, land of, you know, mm-hmm. saints mm-hmm. and poets.
I do like to listen to Irish music.
Yeah.
Like Gaelic singing.
Ooh.
I don't understand any of it unless the YouTube video has like the translation at the bottom. But it just sounds, it's very beautiful to listen to. Yeah. I like doing it.
It's like Lord of the Rings.
Mm. Yeah.
Ethereal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me. There's actually a documentary. This gentleman pretty much grew up in the Irish language. And he's just sorely disappointed that more people don't study their own language in school, even though it's required now, right?
Uh-huh.
But they don't really take it seriously, kind of like, you know, English amongst like people in our country,
right?
And but he's like, no, this is part of our heritage. People like fought and died to keep our language. So he would actually travel around, and there's a documentary on YouTube called No Berla, which means no English. But he also explains that there's no word for no in Irish.
There isn't a word for no?
No. So,
really?
Yeah, he explains that at the beginning of the documentary.
How do you have a language without?
Like, if said, like, oh, will you be joining us tomorrow? Instead of saying no, like, oh, I regret to inform you, I actually have other things going on tomorrow, and that's why it just won't be happening. Yeah, like, wow. That's why I wonder, like, all these Irish, you know, diaspora tend to talk around issues a lot. I think of, probably linguistic, I would suppose. Yeah.
That blows my mind that there's not a word for no.
Yeah, it's just very agreeable people.
Like, that's like, okay, if you had to have like 10 words and you could only say 10 words, yes
you would
and
think
no
would be in there, right? And that's also, I think that's one of those things like we should probably keep in mind is that like I'm not Irish, right? I'm American of Irish descent. Like, so genetically, sure, I'm Irish. Culturally, I'm American.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm an Okie. Mm-hmm. In America.
Yes.
Right? So I'll tell you a quick little story, too, because this is how we convey information. And so I'm walking out of an Irish pub in Belgium, and but I'm wearing like you do.
Yeah. Yeah. As one does. Yeah.
And I'm wearing a Notre Dame cap, but it just has the interlocking ND, which Americans know what that is.
Yeah.
And French people know what that is. But not a lot of other people know what that is.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And so I have an interlocking ND, and it says Irish underneath it. Mm-hmm. And there's this inebriated Irishman on the street. And he goes, "You're Irish. Where are you from?" And I go, "America." And he's like, "Ah,
no,
he's like, yeah, because I'm not. I'm American." Right.
Put your hat. It says
Irish. Irish right there.
It says Irish right there.
False advertising.
You big liar.
All right. We'll be right back. We're going to keep talking about Catholicism in Ireland. It's going to get good.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm Adam Minahan, and this is David Niles from the Catholic Man Show.
And we are so excited because we are going on pilgrimage to Ireland. We're going this September, September 15th through the 24th. We're going to go to some amazing Catholic places in the country. As you know, the Catholic tradition in Ireland is so deep and rich. And while we're there, we're also going to be visiting some distilleries, if you can even imagine that, you know. Us, the Catholic Man Show. So we're going on basically a cathedral and distillery pilgrimage to Ireland. It's going to be awesome.
And because we're going on a distillery tours that are not typical for the tourist, Dave, we're not taking a bunch of people. We're not taking 60 people. We're not taking 50 people. We're capping this off at 30 people because we want to be able to We want it to be intimate. We want it to be able to go to places that normal tourists don't get a chance to go to. Go to selectinternationaltours.com/Catholic Man Show for more information. We'll go afterwards.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. This is David Niles here with Adam Minahan and Father Sean Donovan talking about the history of Catholicism in Ireland. So
since we're going there, it's right, good to know.
Right, exactly. And why you should come with us, because there's all this deep, rich, you know, and so much of it impacts our own culture here in America since we are so heavily Irish.
Sure.
Even if you're not Irish, the culture was so heavily influenced by the Irish, you know, like that's kind of the thing about being in America. Everybody is kind of a little Irish, sort of, because we did adopt so much of the Irish ways and cultures just because there were so many Irish who came.
The fact that like pretty much all Americans celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Exactly. Right.
You know, they're not Irish and they're not Catholic.
Right.
Right.
They're like, oh, happy St. Patrick's Day. It's like, thank you.
And it's like, what? Do you know anything about St. Patrick? Oh, I did the snakes.
Thank you,
it's
Saul Goodman. Yeah, that's great.
Well, he was Irish and he drove all the snakes out. It's like, no, he wasn't Irish. No. And the snakes, like,
two
that
for two.
Really,
yeah,
exactly.
Wrong.
A thing. Yeah.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah. But thank you.
I'm
thank
glad you that you like him so much. Yeah.
Apparently, you like drinking.
Yeah. I do too.
It's like, oh boy.
So let's get a drink and we'll talk about
it. So we have only about 30. Spots for the pilgrimage that we're going on. We wanted to keep it small for a couple of reasons, to keep it intimate, but then also we're going on to some distillery tours that only allow up to like 35 people.
Right, that are not on
the circuit.
Yeah. Right,
the pilgrimage circuit.
Ooh, nice.
So it's going to be
And like even the Jameson, when we go to Jameson, you know, it's like mainstream distillery, but we're going to the actual distillery.
Middleton.
Yes. Yeah. Not the one that they had set up in Dublin.
No,
that's for
tourists.
The tourists.
Yeah.
Right. Which is where they try to send the tourists to because that's what they built it for.
You've had Middleton Special Reserve on here, haven't you?
I do not know. I don't think so.
No.
That's super fancy. That's like one of those that you want given to you.
You know what? Okay. Today I was just thinking like Jameson, I don't think it's not that they get a bad rap, but I don't think they get all the credit that they deserve.
People are usually not like, you know what? I'm going to spend $300 on a whiskey. I'm going to go for a Jameson.
Right. I think it's
which
just
they
it's
have
just viewed as so mainstream. Like, oh, I'm not going to I'm into the, you know,
fancy
stuff.
Harder to pronounce.
But
Gaelic.
But Jameson, really, they've got stuff for everybody. You know, they've got like a very drinkable, low end stuff, and then
I guess
fancy
really
stuff.
High end fancy stuff. Yeah. So see if you can get one of your friends or family to give you some Middleton Special Reserve.
Okay.
Yeah. It comes in like its own casket because it looks like it's dead. It's like a big wooden box, and it's
sweet.
Like $250 or $300 or something.
We have not had that.
That would be great.
It's very nice.
Okay, so if you go to thecatholicmanshow.com, you can find out more information about and where we're going, what we're doing.
Yeah.
In September, and you can sign up. And we only have it's been moving pretty quick. I don't know how many exactly we have left, but it's moving fast.
We're going.
So we're going.
We still get to go. Okay.
Oh yeah,
that's good.
So join us.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Like we have now started to get reports, and so like we're getting signups all the time.
So
great,
which is great.
So it could fill up in the next couple weeks.
Great.
So, by the time you're hearing this podcast, likely 1 week is already gone.
Right.
So, you know.
Down to the wire.
Right, yeah.
But we want you there.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Fun. A lot of fun.
Okay, so maybe some things. Okay, so we were talking about before the break. We talked about it'd be good to have some different music, different books, different movies that we could maybe watch to help us prepare, and then also things to say and more importantly, not to say.
Yeah,
when we're there.
Just to not offend anybody as well. So like there is a lot of changes going on there have been a lot of changes going on in Ireland recently, the last few decades. So it's. You know, with Celtic Tiger in the 90s and making a lot of money, usually that ruins a country in terms of the faith. It's really distanced itself from the faith in a lot of ways. We might actually have some animosity just if we, you know, because you're going to have a priest with you. Sorry about that. So people are going to know who you are, you know. So
this, Dave, could be our ticket. This, like, a real opportunity to
be a martyr. We suffer for the sake of the name, and we can do so joyfully. Mm-hmm. That'd be
like,
pretty good.
That's right.
I was just thinking that because we just had that. Yeah, like right. This week. Yeah.
This morning.
Like, yes,
yeah.
I suffered.
Yeah.
I've been found worthy.
That's awesome. Yeah. So there might be some.
What an opportunity.
Especially in the big cities, you know, like they're like, you know, because they just voted in abortion. Even Sinn Féin's gone pro-abortion. Like it's they're having a lot of problems. They're not.
Come evangelize Ireland with us.
They're kind of post-Catholic, kind of post-Christian in a lot of ways, that country. And,
I've heard mass attendance is just
plummeted. But.
Now especially among the youth, which have no interest in practicing their faith.
But we have
some
American religious orders that are now re-evangelizing.
Uh-huh.
So like the CFRs.
And there's some Dominicans. Yeah.
I think Nashville Dominicans went back over there as well. They're in the CFRs in Limerick, pretty rough area.
Yeah.
My family's originally from there. But anyway, and there's some American religious orders that are actually going back and re-evangelizing. Father Mark Kirby started Silver Stream Priory over there. So re-evangelization. There's also a priest who is a classmate of Father Mike Pratt's, who is known as like the American priest because he went back to where his family's originally from, his grandparents were from, and he got ordained for them.
Yes, he told me that story that in seminary they went out drinking one night and decided like we're gonna go save Ireland.
Yes,
and then like
he actually did. Right? Father Sullivan actually got ordained.
Right, like Father Pratt was like, I was just kind of like excited and you know like maybe a little too excited. Yeah, like,
go
let's
for
save
it.
Him.
Go for it.
But then that guy like.
Actually,
up and
did
left,
it.
You know,
yeah. And like they all know him. Like it doesn't matter where you are in the country. People are like, I'm like, do you know Father Shane Sullivan? Oh, the Yank. Yeah, the American.
Yank.
Yeah. I know him. Yeah. So it's like okay. So there's gonna be some mixture, especially in major cities, some animosity against faith. Then other people are gonna be like really faithful as well, right? Remember, like this centuries and centuries of producing saints.
Yeah.
So they're still gonna have some really faithful families as well, but. So some things to maybe be aware of, some phrases and things to avoid. We were talking about downstairs, like, we're going to be also having some drinks while we're on pilgrimage, like you do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some things not to order. Do not order an Irish car bomb. It should be... I shouldn't have to
you know
say
what?
That.
I get that.
Yeah. It's like ordering a 9/11 in New York. You just don't do it.
I'm right. Like yeah. Way yeah. beyond drinking a car bomb
no,
anyway. You know,
good.
Like
I'm so proud of you.
Just on a personal level.
He stopped last week.
Oh, wow.
It's an Exodus 90 thing.
It was just for Lent. But it's okay. So no car bombs. Don't order a black and tan because, you know, it's Bass and Stouts. So it's a British lager.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Black and tan. Also, it's a reference to all the criminals that used to oppress the Irish Catholics.
Okay.
And slaughter them. So anyway, don't order black and tans. If you want to order like a Guinness and a lager, get a half and half. Right? That's totally
Have you ever had one?
No.
It's delightful.
It's really good.
It's very nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they pour it towards
actually half and half.
Well, they pour it over typically like over a spoon or something like that to help it break.
Perfect
up.
Separation.
Yeah, uh-huh. Perfect separation. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So do you drink one and then you drink the other, or does it mix when you drink it?
It doesn't mix. Yeah. It's like Protestants and Catholics.
You drink you drink the top half and then you get the bottom half.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Is that
fascinating?
It's pretty good. Yeah. So let's see. Some other things to be able to avoid. So I guess just things to keep in mind. So if, depending on what part of the country we're in, then in the north, then just also don't purport to be or present yourself as an American as if you're Irish. Don't do that. Don't do that. You're American. Right?
Gotcha.
Yeah. You're not Irish. They all know that you're probably of Irish descent because you're American and you're paying the money. Like they're all happy that you're there, but no, you're not Irish.
Uh-huh.
Right? So it's like, oh, you're of Irish descent. Totally fine. Yep. Did you want to see your crest? Do you have a copy of your crest? Good for you. I'd be happy to have you buy all kinds of things that relate to your family history.
Uh-huh.
But you're not Irish. Right. So don't say that, because that's an easy way to make people irritated. So that's one, kind of like that drunk guy that I mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, ah, yeah.
What are you, take that hat off.
What are you doing? So it's like, okay, no, you're not. Now, I guess one thing that's actually kind of pertains to the pilgrimage as well. So just Blarney Stone at your own risk, right? So
yeah,
that's it's kind of it's anointed every night with urine by the locals. So, you know, you can always just wash it off, I suppose, if you bring a bottle of water, if you want to kiss it. That's great, too. But it's one of those things that, nah, the Irish really don't tell you until after the fact. They're like, you know, we piss on it every night. It's like, oh, that's great.
Okay. We think it's hilarious.
We have all these Americans kissing it all day long.
Oh, man.
But we're going to be going
to... That is good to know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, there it is. There it is. And though the O'Sullivans, that was their ancestral home, was now Blarney Castle. And I'll tell you a whole story about my ancestor and the O'Sullivan and the O'Donovan, another one, cattle rustling. But we'll get into that another time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Save that one for the pilgrimage.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So that's a good story, too. But so whenever you're there, you just kind of know that if you're going into a historic Irish church that was seized by Protestantism, they're going to charge you at the door.
Okay.
That's a normal thing.
Okay.
So... if they charge you at the door, they're Protestant now. And if they don't, you're here to pray. It's Catholic, pretty much as a general rule.
Yeah.
So don't be shocked and surprised.
How much do they charge?
Oh, not much. Like a pound or two. Like whatever it is now in euro.
Like
euro,
a flesh?
Whatever. No more, no less. And that's the trick. Just like Shakespeare taught us. But so, yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's very easy for... I mean, I actually fell into this. So, like, I complained loudly, like, who charges to go into church? And it's like... nah, we don't want to be those kind of Americans.
Yeah.
You know, even if we are right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because we are.
We are.
One of the great things that Haley told me, because we're going to Ireland before the pilgrimage, is how friendly everybody is there, though. Compared to, she's so listened to a lot of, I didn't realize this, that there's a ton of travel podcasts out there that just do nothing but tell you about everywhere in the world.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And people are saying in there, Ireland is one of the like most welcoming
absolutely
places in the world.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, yeah. They're so kind.
Wonderful.
So,
yeah.
Okay. I'm going to ask you this question answered on the other side of the break. When you go, should you try to sound Irish? Like, should you work on your
brogue? Never, especially you. No.
Okay.
No.
I didn't know.
He's going to do it anyway.
You go to like Spanish countries, and if you try Spanish, they're like, oh, I appreciate that. You know, like, put in the effort. Not the same.
Not the same.
Okay, we're going to keep going. We've got a couple more things we want to go over.
So if you're listening on the radio, check us out on the podcast.
Make sure to go to the podcast. Yeah, there you go. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers.
Cheers to Jesus.
So, yeah. So we can also talk. Oh,
we need to do the list.
Yeah, we need to do the list.
Because,
well, I don't think he has the list.
Well, so he said it's going to be a running list.
It's going to be a running list, that's for sure.
Oh,
so
right.
Okay. I can also start you off, I suppose.
Yeah, let's start off and we can put them in the show notes and then we can start. That's
the
next
episode. Yeah, the whole next episode is all on Saints. And we'll also talk about Our Lady of Knock and that whole apparition. What's that all about?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so
kind of a unique apparition.
Maybe some movies. Let's start out with some movies.
Yeah, Name of the Father. You know the Name of the Father? It's with Daniel Day-Lewis.
No, huh?
In the Name of the Father. It wasn't like super blockbuster, but it's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Uh-huh.
Phenomenal. Pete Postlewaite, so good. It's about this group of Belfast family members who were basically illegally imprisoned for like 20 years in prison.
Wow.
The whole, like, we're talking like 8 members of their family.
Wow.
For, you know, accused of being like bomb makers.
Wow.
And like his dad died in prison. Like the rest of his family were in, like little kids in his family, like little brothers and sisters were imprisoned as well. Mm. So anyway, we'll talk about some of that. Like that was during like 70s and some of the troubles then. Because you had a lot of car bombs going off and like, you know, beginning of the IRA. And
right.
So In the Name of the Father is a good one.
Okay.
One that's kind of like, oh, more charming and just like, oh, so sweet, is The Quiet Man.
Uh-huh.
The Quiet Man's phenomenal. Probably the best John Wayne movie ever.
Yeah, well, it's McClintock. I mean, McClintock is
they're very different, it's true, but
yeah.
So those are really good. Actually, I have a whole, like, I just pulled up even some historical ones here too.
This doesn't have anything to do with like the Irish history, but the movie Calvary.
Oh,
it's very good. It takes place in Ireland.
It does.
Yeah. And just like such a real, I love the priest in that movie.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't see it. I heard it was excellent. Oh, The Wind That Shakes the Barley. Did you see that one? The one that Palme d'Or and Cannes. Phenomenal.
The Wind That Shakes the Barley. I'm trying to write these down.
The guy who played Scarecrow in the first Batman.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's excellent. Also, Michael Collins with Liam Neeson. Really good. Kind of insight into history as well.
Uh-huh.
Especially that Easter Rising, Free State era. Because
uh-huh.
he plays Michael Collins, and then there's also Eamon de Valera, the first president of Ireland.
Is that still The Wind That Shakes the Barley? Same?
No, that's Michael Collins, a separate movie.
Oh, the name of the movie is Michael Collins. Okay. Yeah.
And there's also a movie called Bloody Sunday. Excellent, excellent movie about that whole incident there, too. And in the name of the father. Let's see here. Far and Away is Garbage. Don't recommend that one.
Okay, don't see that one.
And also, like, Tom Cruise is on the Lucky Charms, you know. it isn't that a duty. It isn't what he's doing at all. So, like, no, forget that one. That's not so much political, but...
What about music?
Ooh, yeah, so...
Can we maybe... Because that's something that I would definitely like to...
Oh, yeah, for sure. So... for music, I would recommend certain bands, especially.
Okay.
And almost anything they do. So, but certain songs. So, Four Green Fields by the Dubliners.
Yep.
Okay.
Phenomenal. It's all about the seizure of Ulster after the flight of the Earls.
Okay.
So that's the whole subtext. And like, unless you understand the subtext,
it doesn't make
any sense.
Okay. I really love the High Kings,
but
basically anything that they do like traditional like Irish music, and they do it the best, I think.
They're beautiful. Chieftains I grew up with, so I have a special affinity for them. They do really high quality stuff. Dubliners are more of a pub group, but they did a lot more political stuff than the Chieftains did.
Yeah.
So between Four Green Fields... Foggy Dew. Oh, Foggy Dew.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Not to mention all the references to the Angelus Bells and the Requiem Bells. So, it's a very Catholic understanding. If you don't know what those are, it's like...
Yeah.
The Shores of Botany Bay.
Yeah.
Is a good one.
So...
Green Grow the Rushes.
Yep.
I mean, there's just... I'm
Dubliners are good. Chieftains are good. Pogues are even good, but for more of like a punk traditional... they actually collaborated with the Dubliners a couple times.
Hmm.
And there's actually a local band here called Larkin that I used to listen to all the time when I was working at Catholic Charities. And they do all traditional music, but kind of like a more Pogues style where their lead singer is a bit vulgar.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's another group that I don't think they exist anymore, but they played at my... I used to listen to them play it every week at Arnie's. Downtown, and they're known as Carjan na Gael, and they played at my ordination reception as well.
They did.
Were friends of mine, and
that's awesome. Yeah,
I used to work with them at Catholic Charities, so they were excellent, so good. So, and a couple of them still playing, and one of them still volunteers at Catholic Charities there too.
Nice.
Yeah.
What about books?
Oh yeah. So actually, I can send a link to University of Notre Dame's Irish Studies programs, and that way the people can also choose, like, do you want to do politics, language, like novels, history, like what aspect do you want to delve into? It's something related, but it's not actually Irish; it's actually English, but it pertains to like the Universal Church. Is Eamon Duffy's "The Stripping of the Altars"? Did you ever read that one?
No.
It's like this big.
Yeah, that's
it's
probably
that's
why,
probably that's, why that's I wouldn't why read I it. Read
it's
it,
yeah. massive, but it's phenomenal because he's going over basically like the traditional faith in England before Henry VIII, like showing just how just vital it was and how on fire even all the British were before they got crushed by Henry VIII and his, you know.
So it's a historical book.
It is, and it's also very pertinent to the iconoclasm worldwide in the Catholic Church in the 20th century.
Yeah.
And we just kind of did it to ourselves.
Yeah.
And of course, like that relates also to stripping of the altars and kind of like emptying out of the faith in Ireland. I know some priests over there who, you know, they're preaching in their congregation, or I don't know if we're still broadcasting, but it's okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, they'll have like five laicized priests in their congregation.
Hmm.
They'll usually complain. Well, XYZ. But, you know, I wouldn't do it this way. Shut up, you're not a priest anyway. Yeah.
Like, I know you wouldn't.
Because I'm still doing it. Yeah. So it's like, oh man, it's tough.
So what are you excited about on our itinerary? Like,
because
you've been there quite a few times, yeah, right? Yeah. So I've never been. Dave's never been.
I've never been.
So I'm excited about all of it.
Sure.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's really hard to beat Knock.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, wherever Mary appears,
yeah,
with St. Joseph, John the Evangelist, choirs of angels, the Lamb of God, and an entire parish.
Yeah, that's the thing about it.
Everybody got to see it. So awesome.
And they didn't get rained on.
So cool. I mean, especially in Ireland, where it's just so soaked.
Yeah.
And no, all protected.
Yeah.
All there for a couple hours. Beautiful. So, like, that's definitely, like, top of my list.
Sure.
And of course, Mass every day is always top of the list.
Right.
Now, Mass Stone, yeah, that's going to be pretty cool.
Have you done that before?
Never have.
Okay.
Yeah. So that'll be something new. That'll be awesome. Different. Yeah. So, and of course, some of these beautiful cathedrals and churches, I mean, like, they're going to be absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be great, too. Like, kind of extremes, you know, mm-hmm, it's kind of nice.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But,
yeah, that'll be really cool. Like, celebrate Mass on a stone outside. And then also, like, go to a beautiful cathedral.
Yeah. Like, the Lord shows up each time.
And it'll be nice being in a country where people speak English. I mean, like, really, you know, these days...
It's very much like English.
You can go... Yeah. It's very much like English. So it sounds a lot like
it
English.
It does. Yeah. It does.
But, you know...
Unless they're so in Cork.
If you go to France or, like, Europe or, like, South America, most of the time, somebody around will speak English. You know,
sure,
like, if you go somewhere, there'll be somebody who speaks English. But, you know, going somewhere where you can talk to anybody you run into...
Yeah. Well, actually, it's funny. There's a little clip of the Graham Norton show, you know, in England. He had the Donovan brothers. You know the O'Donovan brothers that won silver medal in the in crew in rowing.
Okay.
The last Olympics. Anyway. And I'm kind of aware, you know, being O'Donovan. You know?
Right.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
So anyway, they won the Ireland's first Olympic medal in crew. Never won before.
Okay.
And they're just characters, these two brothers, that just go on and on. And the whole couch are Irishmen from different parts of the country. So it's like the Donovan brothers, you have like, I think it's like Liam Neeson and like whatever, like a couple other Irish, and then like that French.
Is Liam Neeson Irish?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
And then like whatever her name is, who did like La Vie en Rose, the French actress, whatever her name is. And so anyway, she's there. And Graham Norton's actually from Northern Ireland. So, you know, he's kind of like a little lilting, you know, slight accent.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But all these others, especially the Donovans, they're from Skibbereen. They're from, like, where all the O'Donovans are now. And, like, everybody there is a Donovan. Like, you go into the grocery store, it's like all the Donovans. Like, everybody's a Donovan. It's like, you know, the name tags, too. It's just like, wow, okay. But anyway, so everybody. And so there's thick Cork accent. And so much so that, like, then you have, like, less or so amongst these other major film stars. And then she's just sitting there, whatever her name is, the French actress, just staring totally blank. And Graham Norton goes, do you understand anything that they're saying? She's like, not a word. Not a word. And she speaks English.
Yeah. Right.
You know? So she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, it's a really funny clip. You should probably check it out. Graham Norton show with the O'Donovans.
Okay, good. Yeah,
it's funny.
Dave, I will.
Dave, how...
Because when we come back, I fully expect... I'm pretty good at impressions and accents and
sure,
things.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
When we come back, I will be able to do it.
Ooh, that's a strong... You gotta pick a county, though. You gotta pick...
Yeah, that will be hard. I probably will end up with a blend of the places that we go to. You know?
Like the whiskey we drink, it'll be a blend.
or it'll be like the favorite one. Like, oh, I really like the way you say that. I like the way you say that right there. Yeah,
say that again. I'm going to record you.
Anyway.
Yeah. So I'm very, very excited. I can't wait
it'll
to
be
do
a lot
it.
Of fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so...
Definitely.
So if somebody has either more music to look at, some books, should send it to us because we're going to start compiling a running list.
Sure.
You'll add some more to the list as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then that way we can you know, provide a little library
movies
of
and
culture up a little bit before we go.
Books. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll provide the whiskey.
Hey, all right.
Deal.
No, just what to try, not the actual whiskey.
Oh, just recommendations.
The list.
That's exciting.
I'll give you words, and you will like it.
All right, fine.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Thanks for your contribution. Yeah.
Okay, anything else? So if you're listening to this right now, we're going to do another episode on Irish Saints.
Yes, we will,
Next.
Which we need to get to.
Okay, so Father, thank you so much. As always, it's always a blast to have you.
Man, my pleasure. Yeah.
It was so much fun. We're going to do it again.
Let's do it.
Here in a few minutes.
All right.
All right, sounds good.
Hi, this is Bishop David Konderla of the Diocese of Tulsa in Oklahoma. So let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly to thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.